quickly, I'll get down to business. You know, we slept fast last night. In review of the game, obviously, we're pleased to get out of the stadium with the win. Wasn't a perfect body of work by any stretch, but that's not our concern. Getting the win is. I thought there were very few positives, but the positives were significant. We made significant plays to get us out of the stadium. Of course, Lawrence's play in overtime was big. Sweetsum's been big for us all year. And a lot of smaller contributions by a lot of people. But more than anything, it was just a gritty performance by our guys making sufficient plays to secure the win for us. From an injury standpoint, coming out of the game, I'll address a few things. I'll start with Ben. He has a shoulder sprain. It can be classified as an SC sprain. That's all the information that I have for you at this time. He's being evaluated. Obviously, this injury puts his participation in the questionable category for this week. I have more information for you guys as I get it as the week unfolds. Antonio Brown still rehabbing his ankle sprain. He could be classified as questionable. Marcus Gilbert with his ankle tendon injury. He started some preliminary work last week. He can be classified as questionable. Troy with his calf still should be classified as doubtful for this football game. Sly's got a hammy. He's questionable. Ryan Clark will be evaluated in terms of his participation, but I saw him. He appears to be fine. We'll see where the evaluation process takes us during the course of the week. And, of course, Rashard Mendenhall coming back from his Achilles, starting to work and work significantly for us. I think I can classify him as questionable as we sit here today. Obviously, it's the Ravens week for us. Awesome game, always is. They're a talented bunch, as they are perennially. They're a very good football team. I'll start talking about some of the things that they're capable of. First and foremost, if you look at their complete body of work and what type of team they are, they distinguish themselves in situational football, which makes them a difficult team to beat. They're number one in the NFL in red zone defense. I know a lot's been written and said about some statistics involving their defense, but they're number one in the NFL in red zone defense. They're number five in red zone offense. You know, that's significant in terms of scoring. We're about middle of the pack in both of those statistics. So, obviously, that weighs heavily in their favor in terms of the output of points. We got to be better than we've been in that area. We got to make sure that they're not as good as they've been in that area, both offensively and defensively. We're at zero for the turnover margin through nine games. They're plus nine. They do a nice job of taking care of the ball. They do a nice job of getting the ball. As they always have been. Of course, that's another element of situational football that's going to make it difficult for us. But more than anything, you know, we understand what this matchup is about. It's about physicality. It's about playing good, hard-nosed football. We expect them to do it, and we better be prepared to do it. Offensively for them, they're continuing to grow and mature with their quarterback. Obviously, the offense runs through him. It's a lot of no huddle, a lot of autonomy at the line of scrimmage for Joe Flacco, and rightfully so. He's a great decision maker. He spreads the ball around to a variety of guys. Does a nice job highlighting the talents of people. Torrey Smith is a deep ball threat. He's got seven touchdowns. He does a nice job of putting the ball in play for him. Anquan Boldin is a tough combat catch guy, chain mover, if you will. He does a nice job, you know, playing to his strengths as a pass receiver. And, of course, Ray Rice is a man for all situations. He can run it. He's great in the passing game, check downs and so forth, blitz pickup. He's a very tough competitor. He's got a nice stiff arm, finishes runs. He's his usual self. Added to that mix, you got to acknowledge Jacoby Jones and what he's developing into for them in terms of his big play ability, not only in the special teams game but offensively. I think he's provided a shot in the arm for him, and I think the tight end tandem of Peter and Dixon are really good. They're tough matchups in the passing game. They get after you in the running game. They finish plays, but in the passing game, their ability to displace themselves from the quarter formation and play out of two-point stances like big wideouts, if you will, make them tough to deal with, particularly in the vertical passing game. Their play-action passing game is as good as it always been. Defensively, of course, obviously they're without Ray Lewis, but they still have some guys that historically been issues for us. Helodi Nata, of course, is a guy that's created issues for us in the past, and anybody else that suits up against him, he's tough to deal with. Suggs is back in action. Of course, he's had big games against us in the past, and Ed Reed kills everyone. Along with those guys, of course, they have some additions. Kruger, I think, is playing really good football for him. Ellerby is playing really good football for him. Kerry Williams is playing really good football for him. These are guys that have kind of grown within their program, man, and been playing for them for a number of years. They're familiar names to us. They might not be familiar names to others, but when I watch their tape, I see an emergence of this group. Their ability to deliver crucial plays for them and step up when needed. From a special team standpoint, they got a new kicker in Tucker. But he appears to be a rock-solid professional. Cook is their punter. Of course, he's been around. And, of course, Jacoby Jones, like I mentioned earlier, is a dangerous kick and punt returner, particularly kicks. He's gone 108 and I think 105 already this year. Our kickoff coverage teams, kickoff coverage units have their hands full in terms of trying to slow him down. But with that, I'll be happy to address any questions that you might have.
Mike, is there any indication that Ben's injury could have been something old that was just exacerbated or was just a completely new injury?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Mike, Brian Clark and Dallas had a concussion or some kind of concussion-like injury two of the last 3 weeks. You know, don't want to mess with concussions, but that kind of alarming that he has twice now in a short period of time?
Not alarming for me. I just lean on the understanding of our medical staff and the battery of tests that not only he but anyone that has those type of injuries have to go through. And if he's deemed cleared and ready to play, then of course we'll play him. If he's not, we won't.
If Ben isn't able to practice all week, could you still play him Sunday?
I have before.
In the past, Coach, you guys would wait with Ben's injuries maybe the second or third day of practice, but being as though this is a difficult game, are you going to say, look, he's not going to play, and so the next guy can get as many reps as possible?
I don't care about the opponent. They're nameless gray faces to me. I'm not going to change our protocol because of who we're playing.
Mike, with Ben out for a while, at least practice-wise, is there a need for a third QB on a team, even if it's a practice squad guy?
You know, that's something that we're, of course, capable of discussing. We haven't discussed it to this point. I haven't discussed much of anything to this point. More than anything, I've been in dark rooms kind of readying ourselves for the Ravens. I'm sure that those discussions and others will potentially come up here in the next 24 hours or so.
I understand you said that you don't have more information now, but is there a general timeline for a shoulder sprain?
Not to my knowledge at this point.
Like, you guys have grown so accustomed to Ben playing through almost everything, but I assume his throwing shoulder is a little bit different. How concerning is this?
Again, I gave you guys all the information that I have. When I get more, I'll give it to you. I don't deal in levels of concern and things of that nature. I focus my energies on the healthy ones and their preparedness.
In terms of snap count during practice, is Byron going to get the majority? Is he the acting starter as of now?
Yes, he is.
Mike, just for clarification, did you say LC sprain for Ben?
SC, whatever that is. I coach football.
Is that the same thing as the AC shoulder sprain?
It is not, to my knowledge, but don't quote me on that.
Mike, just the preseason and the small sample size we saw last night from Byron, having not seen Charlie in the regular season, personality-wise, do they tend to fit Todd Haley's offense similarly, or do you see some intricacies that are different between the two when they're actually playing?
You know, I'm not worried about the capabilities of either men if called upon. They're proven veteran players. They're capable of performing in whatever offense or personality we choose to have. More than anything, if he is to play or either are to play, then obviously this week's preparation will be big and having an opportunity to take snaps and prepare will be big.
Mike, I assume you've at least talked to Ben. Have you seen Ben? And can you tell us anything about how he's handled? I assume he's disappointed.
He's great.
Mike, just to clarify, what is the explanation for the fourth timeout? Why wasn't there a time runoff late in the game?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it has something to do with the fact that we also had someone injured simultaneously, but I hadn't had confirmation of that. Just really hadn't had enough hours in my day to this point.
Coach, how does the playbook change, or how does your offense change if it's Byron running it and not Ben?
I don't know that it does.
Mike, did the Kansas City defense devise, or does any defense devise schemes to protect a special player like Derrick Johnson? I mean, did they try to protect him so you couldn't get at him?
No, I just really think more than anything is how they're built. They've got some big, stout men up front. Poe, their first rounder, is a big man. He stacks behind him, and they got some others. They do a nice job of utilizing the men to the best of their abilities, and Johnson played good ball last night. There's no question about that. I talked earlier in the week last week about his ability to hit gaps and run under blocks and do the things that he does that make him a very functional player in today's NFL, man, and he proved it last night.
Byron said last night that he was rusty. Is that something you saw, and what are some of his assets?
You know, I'll trust his assessment if that's his assessment, but I'm not overly concerned about it as I sit here today. We got a lot of ball in front of us this week. If he is the guy, and if he is the guy, he'll get a great opportunity to prepare, and we'll expect him to play winning football.
Very impressive performance by Kiesel yesterday with his 8 tackles, I believe 2 sacks.
It was a timely performance, and, kudos to him. I'm sorry I hadn't mentioned him to this point, but he was one of the many guys that delivered timely plays for us in the football game.
When you look at your run game, did you sort of take a step back, or was it all what the Chiefs were doing?
You know, I like to think that, they did some nice things. I'd also like to think that we could have done some things better, such as life. It's the nature of football. But more than anything, you got to acknowledge that that group did a nice job. They came to play, and they played hard, and they made plays. We need to do better.
Mike, what went into the decision with Alameda Tamu, and is there an expectation that he'll be back in some?
It was strictly a personnel move. We needed to get Gilreath up. That was a means in which to do it. We'll make the necessary moves to put our very best team on the field this week, whether it includes Alameda or not.
When you look at having to overcome the injuries of Polamalu, of Mendenhall, do you think the team is better equipped to handle their quarterback going down, or is the quarterback just a totally different entity?
You know, we just focus on the healthy guys. The injuries are what they are. We're not looking to make excuses. Excuses are tools of the incompetent. I believe we got a competent football team. The ones that are healthy will prepare, will step into the stadium, and the level of expectation will be the same.
Mike, you went for it on a 4th and down near midfield. Did that inability to convert that come into your judgment about going for it after you didn't make it out of the 3rd and 1 right outside the 2-minute warning?
It did, if I remember correctly. Obviously, our defense was doing a nice job of stopping them quickly, and that also weighed into that decision as well.
Like what you said about their tight ends, you face some pretty good tight ends, Gresham, Celek, among some others. But have you seen a team deploy tight ends the same way that they do, using multiple guys? Is that kind of like what Denver did in the first game of the season?
A lot of teams do it. New England does it. Tight end-oriented teams. It's in vogue in today's NFL.
Mike, you guys have done well at home this year, so has Baltimore. In Joe Flacco's case, I think his stats are a lot better when he's playing at home than he is on the road. What do you make of that?
He plays better at home than he does on the road.
I mean, that says a lot for home field advantage?
I mean, it's an element of the game, but, you know, the play ultimately determines how games unfold and statistics and things of that nature. I'm a proponent of that. I'll acknowledge that some variables are factors, but not significant ones. I like to think that when we step into a stadium, our preparedness and ultimately our play determines the outcome of football games, regardless of what stadium we're stepping in.
Because of some of the injuries that Baltimore's had, do they look different on paper? Are they a different team than what we've become accustomed to seeing?
I think that they're evolving like all teams evolve, like we're evolved. You know, they're not the same team that they were in 2011 or 2010, and for obvious reasons. Players ascend, players descend, just like on our football team, and teams usually try to play to their strengths and work to minimize their weaknesses, and I think they're doing a nice job of that.